Whoever declares himself for me in the presence of men, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. We must proclaim and not be afraid of the world in which we live. People today regard religion, God, Church, Christ as something of the past, antiquated. We've moved on, thank you, Father. We've now been enlightened. We've heard the story before, we'll hear it again. We ought to remain steadfast and not become dismayed. We're here for the long haul unto eternity. We have a body, we have a soul, and the soul matters most of all. And we therefore need to defend our faith and not give in to temptations, not be dissuaded by others and their disparaging remarks. Go back to the prophet Jeremiah, one of the great prophets, one of the four major prophets of the Old Covenant. He wrote two books, one's called Lamentations, because so many people lamented about him, and he lamented about them. Listen to his words, "I hear so many disparaging me." How many times on the ABC, the SBS, the Church, the Pope, Christ, disparaging remarks, "Did Christ exist? Oh, you don't believe that now, do you?" Putting down comments, denouncing cardinals, popes, bishops, putting stumbling blocks before the young, the innocent. It's on the internet, in our media, it's all around us, and sometimes people think, why do I bother? Christ says, do not be afraid. Not once, but twice. Don't be afraid of other people, men, women, who put us down, who deny me. Stand firm and trust in me and proclaim the faith. As you know, the faith given to the 12 consists of the four marks in the Apostles' Creed, the four hallmarks to tell us that we have the authentic church. One, holy, catholic and apostolic. There's only one church, one Christ, one Bible. The church is apostolic in source, origin and also in manifestation. It must be ongoing to the world. The church is not just one holy, apostolic, but also Catholic. The church is holy in the sense it is a maker of saints in heaven, for the word saint means holy, and the word is universal too. The church is universal in the sense that all people of all cultures, of all backgrounds can belong to the church. So the four hallmarks we know. We say them in the Apostles' Creed, we proclaim them. But locked into those four hallmarks is a stark reality that the church is also infallible and indefectible. When I say infallible, that doesn't mean that everything the church teaches is infallible. No, what we say is that everything that the Holy Father, the Pope, the Magisterium proclaims in faith and morals has always been infallible. And infallibility often is mistaken with impeccability, or that the popes all agree, or that the popes have never been sinners. One good proof of the church's longevity and that it's a divine institution is the history of the popes, which brings to mind this quality called indefectibility. It simply means that the church, founded by Christ, will always exist. It can never cease to be. It may disappear from this country or this continent, but it will continue until Christ returns. The gates of hell shall never close upon the church. The church shall remain in some form, somewhere. So the church can never cease to be. And the church can never cease to be one, holy, catholic and apostolic. And the church can never fail to proclaim the fullness of God's truth, hence the quality or charism of infallibility. But that charism ultimately relies with the Holy Father and the Magisterium. When all the bishops are in union with the Holy Father teaching, they are infallible. But when they start to dissect, diverge, do their own thing, they are like you and I. We can commit errors, we can make mistakes. Infallibility simply means that the church cannot teach error. It doesn't mean that the church will teach. Some popes at some times didn't teach much at all. Some popes have taught an extraordinary amount, like John Paul II. So infallibility is a charism given to the person who becomes the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, to lead the other bishops in constancy with the teachings of Christ. And for the Pope to be infallible, he must be acting as Pope, speaking on behalf of the whole Church, not his private opinion on a flight to here or there. He must be proclaiming on faith and morals, not politics or social opinion. And lastly, he must be confirming, clarifying a matter of doctrine. Popes can differ in personal opinions, and they have. And sometimes people confuse what a Pope personally prefers, this or that, compared to what he actually is teaching. Furthermore, sometimes people compare popes and say, well, look, this one's holy, we'll follow him, and this one's not so holy, we won't follow him. Dig deep into the history of the Church, the history of the popes, and you'd be surprised how the Church has kept on going. As I said, the proof of the infallibility, but indefectibility of the Church is that it is set up by Christ, will continue to the end of time, and we are all part and parcel of that picture. Two popes which is put up before you who were extraordinary in being notorious was Pope Formosus and Pope Alexander. The 500-year span between these two popes, Pope Formosus, he's easy to remember, he was in the 1890s, very political, bent upon becoming Pope for many years, eventually becomes Pope for about 5 or 6 years, and does many things in the sense that he makes people bishops and cardinals here and there and changes a few things, but he didn't find many friends with the emperor. At the same time, the Muslims, this is the 9th century, were coming up from the bottom of Italy, trying to invade again. Up north, the Orthodox were still with the Catholic Church as one church, but there's problems with politics there, who's governing them. And they also had problems with the Roman Emperor. So politically, he was in a hot spot and couldn't budge too much, and what he did wasn't that popular. When he died, believe this or not, when he died, his enemies dug up his decomposing body, he's dead, dug him up, put him on the papal throne in St. Peter's, not the present one, but the original basilica, dressed him up in his royal papal garb, and condemned him. They condemned him. This is a corpse they're condemning. And they do this. It's called the cadaver synod of the 9th century. And everything he did, and everyone he promoted, they just disregarded and abandoned and started again. Such was the politics of the Church at the time. The Church continued. What an extraordinary event happened. It happened. Another interesting moment was 500 years later. The Borgia popes are notorious for their immorality. Politically, they were pretty savvy, and socially, they did some good for the Church, but morally, they were just kind of, of the time. And of course, the Spanish Rodrigo Borgia, Alexander VI, was somewhat lax in his morals. He had several mistresses, committed adultery as a priest and bishop, eventually became Pope, and he had children, not as Pope. He tidied up his moral life when he became Pope. Still, he had all these children from different women in his life. And sadly, he appointed them to positions in the Church, key positions here and there. And back then, a position in the Church meant politics, power, and money. And so therefore, there's a lot of nepotism at that moment in history. And it was scandalous, some of the things he did. So the Church survived after the Borgia popes. God sent some holy popes to clarify the issue and keep the ball rolling. Study the popes. Both of those two popes didn't teach much at all. You won't find many documents issued by them. They did other things, but they weren't teaching in faith and morals. So irrespective of who is the Pope, the Church will continue until the end of time. And the teachings of the apostles, the teachings of the popes are one and the same, guided by the Holy Spirit. Love the Church, be proud of her, and know that we're here because God has chosen us to belong to this Church. We are proud to be Catholic. Catholic means the fullness of the faith. And we welcome people into our family, God's family. And we pray that we might always persevere in spite of the lamentations, criticism, and harm caused by others in our midst.